If you would, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter. Peter's second epistle. Second Peter, verses 12 through 15, is our text this morning. Second Peter, chapter 1. Verses 12 through 15, the word of the Lord. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my deceased. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we approach your throne of grace, asking that you would be pleased to bless our time together to hear this morning. Father, we fully acknowledge that without your enabling grace, nothing worthwhile would be accomplished this morning. We pray that the worship offered to you today would be worthy of the name of Christ. We pray your good and perfect and acceptable will would be accomplished in each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would take your word in which you have prepared for us this morning, that you would apply it to each and every one of our hearts. You know our fears, our concerns, our questions, our doubts. You know the sins that we get so easily entangled with. You know exactly how to administer your word to each and every one of our unique situations. And so we pray that you would be pleased to do just that. Lord, I pray that you would be pleased to bless thy servant's work for your honor and glory. Help me to speak with boldness, with authority, with clarity, accurately. And if I should speak anything amiss, I pray your forgiveness in advance. And as always, we pray, Lord, that if there be anyone here this morning who has not yet placed their faith, their trust in you as their one and only Lord of their life and Savior of their sin, Lord, we pray that you would look to the Father and that you would plead with him, asking that he would draw them unto himself through saving faith in you, that he would grant them the faith to believe in you, that he would give them the eyes to see, the hearts to love, and the mind to understand, and the arms to embrace, and the legs to run to the foot of the cross as an empty-handed beggar with nothing to bring, only to receive the so great a salvation that you offer to all those who believe in you, the forgiveness, the reconciliation that is granted to those who place their faith and trust in you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. As Christians, we all have things in our past that we would like to forget. We all have things that we would like to forget. We all have things that we prefer not to remember because we would like to move on with our lives as if they never occurred. But beloved, is recalling the past really a bad thing? Is it really a bad thing? I mean, think it through with me. One of the wonderful gifts God has given us is the ability to remember. Remembering our negative experience is not a bad thing. Remembering our negative experience is actually a good thing. Remembering the time when we burnt our finger is a good thing because it reminds us that we must interact with fire or with hot things with great care. We must interact with them with great respect. So it is a good thing to remember that we were once burnt by that match or that fire. Remembering the time when we experienced an electrical shock is a good thing because it reminds us to approach electricity with great care and with great respect. Remembering the time when we allowed ourselves to be distracted while driving is a good thing because it reminds us to surrender our full attention to the responsibility of driving while we are behind the steering wheel. Remembering is a good thing. Remembering our moral failures. Remembering our past failures, remembering our past sins is a good thing because it encourages us, one, to be thankful for the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ, and two, not to repeat those sins again. And so again, remembering is a good thing. The gift of memory is a wonderful gift that God has given to us. Remembering the good, bad, and the ugly in our life is a good thing because it reminds us from where we came and where we are headed. It is a good thing to remember. The Holy Spirit tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 through verse 31 through the Apostle Paul, he says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Brothers and sisters, God has given us this tremendously wonderful gift to recall, and we can use it for His glory and His honor. And we can and we should recall the good, bad, and ugly and do so to the glory of God. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What does he do there? He recalls the Old Testament saints. He reminds the church of the Old Testament saints' sinful failures in the wilderness, specifically the sin of idolatry. Why does he recall this to the mind of the church? He does so in order to encourage the church of Corinth not to do the same thing. That's remembering the bad and the ugly for the glory of God. Remembering past failures so that we can be encouraged not to do the same thing in the future. And so again, this tremendously wonderful gift of memory God has given to us for our good and His glory. I mean, throughout Scripture, we find the imperative to remember over and over. We are called to remember. Not only do we find the command to remember, but we also find the Lord God Almighty telling us that He remembers. And so not only are we encouraged to remember, but the Lord God Almighty tells us that He remembers also. In Genesis 9, chapter 14 through 16, we read these words. The Lord speaking, "And it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all the flesh, that the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look onto it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." Then in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, verse 25, we read these words. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groanings, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and acknowledged them. And then Exodus 20, verse 8. God's people are called to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Psalm 42, 4. We find David saying, "When I remember these things, I poured out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrimage feast." Ecclesiastes 12:1, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" Here we find Solomon saying, "Remember the Lord God, your Creator, in the days of your youth, before you enter into your senior years." And you find yourself saying, "I have no pleasure in these senior years." And then in Luke 23, verse 38 through 43, we read, "And an inscription was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. 'This is the King of the Jews.' Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him," that is Christ, "he blasphemed Christ, saying that 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man," referring to Christ, "has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Surely I say to you, today you will be with me." Beloved, this brings us to today's passage in 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15. Peter had just placed before the church the glorious truth that she has been, by God's grace, made beneficiaries of God's exceedingly great and precious promises. Why? In order to inform her that she has been given all that she would ever need for eternal life and godliness. And so Peter's audience, the church, she need not look anywhere else, because in Jesus Christ, she has been given everything that she will ever need for eternal life and godliness. And as we will see, the church, she understood her glorious position in Christ. She understood that. She had already been taught that. She had already been instructed regarding the exceedingly great and precious promises that she has been given in Jesus Christ. She understood these things. And yet Peter understood. He understood the importance of her being reminded of all that she had been given in Jesus Christ. That is God's exceedingly great and precious promises. She had been forgiven of all of her sin. The work of salvation God had begun in her, he will be completed until the day of Jesus Christ. God is working all things together for her good. Nothing will ever separate her from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. She understood these great and exceedingly precious promises. She's been taught them. She's already been instructed in them. And yet Peter understood the importance of reminding her of the value of remembering God's promises. Let's look at verses 12 through 15. We'll read them and look to the Lord once again in prayer. Peter writes, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, referring to his body, as long as I am living, he's saying, to stir you up by way of reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we pray that you would be pleased to bless our time together this morning. May your good and perfect and acceptable will be accomplished in each and every one of us this morning. If there be anyone among us this morning who has not yet placed their faith, their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, we pray that you would be merciful to them, that you would grant them saving faith, cleansing them from all sin, reconciling them unto yourself. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Again, verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the truth. Beloved, Peter intended his audience, he understood that they didn't need to be taught or educated in regards to God's exceedingly great and precious promises, because they had already been instructed in these things. They've already been taught these things. They understood all that they had in Jesus Christ was eternally secure. They understood that in Christ, all that was available to them. So Peter understood that. He completely understood that. The church understood that in Christ, they had been, that they had been washed, they had been cleaned, they had been cleansed, that they had been purified from their former sins, that they had been sanctified, that they had been set apart for and to God. They understood this. They understood these things. Do you remember the Apostle Paul, what he said to the Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 9 through 11? There the Apostle Paul says, he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And notice what he says, "And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And so the Apostle Paul, he reminds the Corinthians. He recalls it to their memory that they were once these things. Why does he remind them? So that they can likewise recall that they have been forgiven of all their sins, that they have been washed, they were sanctified, they were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And so Peter's original audience understood this to be true for themselves because of, again, the exceedingly great and precious promises of God has given to them in Christ. Peter also understood that they knew these things already. He knew that they had been taught these things. He also knew that these things, by way of personal experience, by way of living out the eternal life in Jesus Christ, had been graciously granted. Peter understood, beloved, by way of experience, that the church needed to be reminded of these things. How did he understand? By way of experience? Peter understood the importance of remembering God's promises because Peter himself could have used a few reminders. He could have been reminded himself on a few occasions. He himself forgot the exceedingly great and precious promises given to him in Christ. You remember the time when Jesus was taken into custody by his antagonists? You remember that time? Three times Peter denied knowing Jesus. Three times he forgot the great and precious promises of God. Three times he forgot who he was in Christ. He denied Jesus three times. And so Peter understood the immense value of remembering God's promises. He understood that due to human frailty, that we tend to forget the important things, don't we? We tend to forget the important things. And so he understood these things. And so therefore, he believed that it was the right thing to do to remind the church of God's exceedingly great and precious promises. So what does Peter say in verses 13 through 14? He says, I consider it right. I consider it right. There may have been those thinking, you know, Peter, we understand this already. Why are you telling this already? Why are you reviewing the basics already with us? We know these things. Do you think it's the right thing to do, Peter, to review these things again with us? Peter says, I consider it right. I consider it right as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, as long as I am living, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that by by laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. Peter knew that death was near. He knew that his time of martyrdom was around the corner. And he understood, he believed that it was the right thing to do, as long as he had breath in his lungs, as long as he was living, to remind the church of the wonderful gifts that they have been given by God the Father in Jesus Christ. His great and precious promises. So Peter understood that he didn't have much time left. And he understood that the time of his martyrdom was very near, because Jesus told Peter that the time would come. And that time was at the door. When he was in his old age, Jesus told Peter, when he is in his old age, Peter would stretch out his hands and be dressed and be led by someone to a place that he'd rather not go, referring to Peter's crucifixion. Peter would likewise be crucified on the cross, like his Lord. Peter refused to be crucified right side up, because he didn't feel that he was worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus. So they crucified him upside down. Peter was not a young man anymore. And so he accepted the fact that his time was short. And in light of that knowledge, Peter considered it right to remind the church of all that she has in Jesus Christ. Beloved, we are living on borrowed time. Life is but a vapor. We need to make the most of our time to remind our children, to remind our family members, to share the gospel with them, to encourage them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who do believe, who have professed to believe in Christ, to encourage them to renew their faith, to remain faithful to the end. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised this afternoon. Peter didn't just remind the church once. He regularly reviewed with the church God's promises, because he wanted to be sure that by the time of his departure, she wouldn't have any difficulty at all remembering the exceedingly great and precious promises of the Lord God Almighty. He reminded her constantly, over and over and over again. He reviewed the gospel. He reviewed the promises. He reviewed these things with the church, so that when he does depart and go to be with the Lord, that the church, beyond a shadow of a doubt, would be able to recall all of these great and exceedingly precious promises. What does Peter say in verse 15? He says, moreover, In addition to reminding you, in addition to reviewing these things over and over with you, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Again, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And so Peter planned on leaving behind a reminder, something that would remind the church of these things. Beloved, one of the things that we could consider is, what could we do? What kind of reminder could we leave behind so that our loved ones would have a reminder of the great and exceedingly precious promises of God? What could we leave behind? What can we leave? If I may propose, the best thing that we could ever leave behind is a copy of sacred scripture. A copy of sacred scripture. Something that they can always have with them and read at any given moment. Something that we can inscribe and write in their encouragement to them, reminding them of the great and exceedingly precious promises that they have in Jesus Christ. Again, there are those in Peter's day looking to assault the church with destructive heresies, wanting to lead God's people away from His promises in Christ into a life of ungodliness. And so Peter, desiring to protect the flock of God, pours himself into her, knowing his time is short, pours himself into recalling or reviewing or reminding the church of these important things. The importance of remembering God's promises. And so, beloved, spending time in God's Word, learning new things, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ is so important for us. If we are going to be faithful in reminding our loved ones and our friends of the great and exceedingly precious promises in Jesus Christ, if we're going to be faithful in reminding them of the gospel, faithful in being able to properly point them to Jesus Christ, to teach them the things of God from the pages of Scripture, we first ourselves must be in the Word. We must be reminding ourselves of God's Word. We ourselves must be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And not only is that important, but so is recalling and committing to memory God's great precious promises. How often do we read Scripture and commit His promises to memory? These are the things that we could be doing. Remembering is a tremendous gift that God has given to us. Our memories is a tremendous gift that God has given to us, and we can use it for His glory and our good. You remember David, he says, I've hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you. David understood the value of remembering God's word. Remembering God's promises is essential for our spiritual health and our well-being. For this reason, Peter writes, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of memory. Father, may we be found always employing our mind for your glory and our good. May we always be found reviewing your word, reading and studying and reviewing your word, hiding your word in our hearts, committing it to memory, so that we may never forget your exceedingly great and precious promises, so that we may be able servants in communicating your exceedingly great and precious promises to those who need to hear them, and so that we may be faithful in reminding one another of your promises, encouraging one another in times of difficulty. Father, we do pray, and we are reminded of your promise that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we do pray that there be anyone here this morning or listening to this message who has not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not yet accepted him, embraced him as their one and only Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that you would be merciful to them, that you would grant them saving faith. We pray that they would call out to him, asking for forgiveness of their sins, asking to be reconciled to you, asking to be granted your so great a salvation. In your holy name we pray. Amen.